Hello, this is Richard. And I apologise for not being Natasha. But Bertie's asked me to step into her place behind the microphone while she takes a break for a few weeks. She applied to Bertie for a little holiday, and as she has been working non-stop for 4 years, he couldn't really refuse. But that's about all you are going to hear from me, because I'm just here to introduce a dog called Astro Pup, who tells his own stories about his travels in space. Hello, my name's Astro Pup, which fitted me quite well way back when I was a young scallywag. But these days I'm more of an old space dog. If you've got a good memory, you might recall my first yarn on StoryNori.com quite a while ago. That was when I travelled with a brainy parrot and a treasonous cat to a distant planet where cat people were the top dogs, so to speak. I've zoomed around the galaxy quite a bit since then, been there, done that, and thought you might like to hear some of my adventures. Well, here goes. After I got back from the abysmal planet of the cats, the people at the Space Centre hung a medal from my collar. For a short, happy while, I returned to Jenny, the little girl who cares for me. But it wasn't long before my other master, Duty, was calling me again. As I had so successfully completed one mission, the humans wanted me for the next one. Better the dog you know, so to speak. They had picked up a signal from outer space. The voice sounded like a bark, and the scientists took it as evidence of an intelligent canine species from another world, one perhaps even smarter than sheepdogs. Once again, my travelling companion was the parrot, who was a major in the Space Force. His real name is a top secret, and although I do in fact know it, I can't tell it to you. In any case, I called him the Major. The Major wasn't very talkative, or even squawkative for a parrot, but when he did speak, he always made good sense. Like the time when he told me,
"Cats aren't clever, you know. They're cunning. And there's a big difference."
I won't tell you all about liftoff and what a scary, horrid feeling it is when you leave this world. I described all that terrible clattering and juddering in my first story. It was more bearable this time because we knew what to expect and because we didn't have to endure that cowardly cat screeching,
"We're all going to die!"
every 5 seconds. I'm sure that if our spacecraft had been made for humans, there would have been every convenience, like sofas to lie on, carpets to chew on, and gourmet meals out of the freezer. But we animals and birds are second-class citizens, even when we are saving the world. You've seen the boot of an estate car. Well, that's what our living quarters were like. You couldn't even open the window. The parrot had a perch. I had a rubber bone. That was our lot for luxuries. The Major is a brainy bird, and he understood a lot more scientific stuff than I ever will. He said the humans had found a way to bend space so that we hurtled along at 4 times the speed of light without actually going forward in time. Look, if you don't understand that last sentence, neither do I, so don't let it bother you. All you have to know is that this form of travel was too new, too untried, and too dicey for humans. Once we had said goodbye to Earth, it was basically just us and the universe. I can't tell you how quiet it is out there. And, of course, there's no gravity to drag you down. As for that floating around business, it was all right for the bird. He was used to it. But us dogs prefer to keep our paws on the ground. If I wanted to sleep, which was most of the time, I had a kennel, and the walls and roof stopped me drifting off too far. The parrot had brought along plenty to keep his clever feather brain occupied. He spent his time learning German to add to his other languages and solving cryptic crosswords on his computer. After we had been bending space for about 4 weeks, we finally picked up a signal. I could clearly hear it through the speakers. It was 3 long woofs, followed by 3 short ones, like this. Woof! 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 Intelligent life! This is what we had come all this way to find. We had been trained in the procedure. The major started to peck on some buttons on the wall. Our course locked onto the signal, and we headed straight for its source. In the meantime, I returned some friendly barks into the microphone, but the major said that we would get there before the sound of my barks. Figure that one out if you can. Before too long, we sighted the distressed spacecraft through the big window. You could see it was in a bad way, because panels were missing off the roof, and bits of pieces of debris were trailing behind it.
"Best be careful," said the Major. "We don't know if these aliens have friendly intentions."
I couldn't agree enough, but our orders were to make contact, and if possible, to bring any evidence of their life back to Earth. I gruffled into the microphone. "Hello, canine friends. We come in peace. Would you like a tow to anywhere in the universe?" But they just repeated the woofing exactly as before. It was just like a blooming recording. "They don't seem all that smart to me," I said. The Major looked like he was about to say something clever, but he didn't have a chance because seconds later, there was a loud crash, and we were both juddered and thrown all over the place. Fortunately, the walls of our quarters were padded with cushions, or one of us might have broken a paw or a wing. When we had recovered our senses, we saw that the idiots in the other craft had crashed into us. I mean, you'd think with all infinity to drive through, they could have found their own space. But at least our window was now next to theirs. We could see in. And just as I had suspected, their ship was crewed by 3 fellow pooches. I can't tell you what this moment meant to me. You travel millions of miles, you meet beings from another world, and it turns out that they are dogs who are smart enough to build and fly their own spacecraft, albeit badly. While pride for my species was swelling in my heart, the Major squawked,
"You stay here. I'm going out for a spacewalk."
His spacesuit was suspended from the ceiling. It was a clever design with a self-fastening zip. He was dressed in about a minute, and not much later he was waving a wing at me from the other side of the window. I was glad it was him out there, not me. Fortunately, he didn't find much more damage to our ship than a couple of dents. He hooked up a towing rope to the other ship and popped back inside via the airlock. We were almost set to go. I said into the microphone, "Right, where to, boys?" And they beamed over a map. The parrot spent some time studying our own star charts and comparing theirs to ours. At last he squawked,
"Got it!"
and picked some coordinates into our ship's computer. The star map on the ceiling of our quarters lit up, and zoom! We were on our way. As we went, I tried to speak to the dogs in the other ship, but their woofs made little or no sense to me, and I gave up trying to communicate. They seemed to prefer snoozing to talking, and I thought to myself, well, we will see soon enough what the planet of the dogs is like. And sure enough, after only a couple of days, we were already in orbit around their world. As I looked down into the swirling seas and sprawling land masses, it all seemed strangely familiar. It was as if I had seen it all before in a dream. I started to think big thoughts, like perhaps the spirit of dogs come from this world when we are born and return here when we die. Perhaps somewhere else there is a planet of the parrots, and perhaps each and every species has its own home in one corner of the universe, where they are lords and masters, and all is perfect for them, just like the humans rule our Earth. The dogs in the other ship sent over another map with instructions about where to land. If anything, entering a world is worse than leaving it. The ship grows horribly hot with friction against the atmosphere. And you were going so fast that you can't help wondering if you're going to crash and that will be it. But when the parachute opens and you are drifting down through a clear sky, all is bliss. I wondered what our welcoming party would be like. No doubt they would be as amazed to meet dogs from another planet as we were. My only worry was that they might think me stupid, because it seemed to me that their canine civilization was as advanced as the humans on our own planet. We landed, as you generally do, with a bone-shattering thud. And after weeks of weightlessness, I had trouble standing up. It's like learning to walk all over again. The parrot was flying before I was walking. He was fluttering at the window.
Caw!
He said, which was his own parrot language, and I didn't understand it. Then he switched into English, which is what Jenny spoke, and which I understand perfectly.
You're not going to like this,
he said. I staggered over to the window and pressed my nose against it. A cart was coming towards us along a track through the field. It was pulled by a set of four dogs in harnesses. Seated above in the vehicle were two hideous creatures. It wasn't the first time we had seen such abominations. They were cat people. It breaks my heart to recount what happened next. The ship that we had towed was lying on its side. I wondered if the poor dogs had suffered broken bones in the landing, but they were unhurt. The hatch flew open, and they climbed out and jumped down onto the ground. They ran across the field, their tails wagging towards the cart. They were glad to be home, back to where dogs were slaves, back to the planet of the cats. I've seen enough, I said. Let's get out of here. And the parrot started to apply his beak to the computer. A few pecks fired the rockets and we were lifting off. I hope that our exhaust singed some cat whiskers down below. And if it burnt some dog fur, so be it. They were cowards and traitors to their own kind. For a long while, I was silent. I could not take it in. Eventually, when we were well on our way, I said to the Major, Why? Why did they want to go back? They were free dogs. We could have taken them back to Earth, where they could hold their tails high. Ours might not be the planet of the dogs, but at least the humans treat us, well, humanely, and not like slaves.
Why?
Said the parrot.
Some creatures find freedom frightening.
And I thought to myself that however much I loved Jenny and my family life, I also loved the freedom of space travel. Yes, it was a scary business, but when you are out there in the universe, nobody can tell you what to do. I made a promise to myself that I would never be afraid of freedom, and one day I would find the corner of the universe which dogs can call their home. And that was the story of Astro Pup Returns. I do hope you enjoyed it. Astro Pup will be back soon with another instalment of his space adventures. In the meantime, there are loads more stories about just about everything at storynori.com. And I'd just like to say thank you to our sponsors, Audible, who have thousands of audiobooks you can download, and Sweet Pea 3, who make the cutest MP3 player for kids. For now, from me, Richard Scott. Goodbye.